The crocuses came up, the cherries blossomed, but this is the week we'll know if jobs bloomed after the cold winter. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Now, here's the number you need for the conversation ahead. In March, just 126,000 jobs were added to payrolls. But what about April? Drew Mattis, the senior U.S. economist at UBS Securities. Hello, Drew.
Good morning.
So the big economic event, at least looking at the calendar here, is going to be Friday morning. That's when the government tells us their count on how many people were on the payrolls in April. That's an important report this time around.
This is the first real big number for the second quarter. And so we'll be looking at this to make sure that jobs kept getting added in the economy, because that'll tell us maybe we should pay more attention to the labor market and less attention to the growth numbers.
So this will give us an early indication about whether or not that was just a weird quarter.
The first quarter always seems weak relative to every other quarter, and that shouldn't happen because all this data is adjusted for seasonals. And the fact that Q1 is always weak tells you that there might be some other problem with the data as well. The payroll numbers, though, haven't shown the same kind of problem, and therefore we're going to be looking at those very carefully to see if Q2 looks like it's off to a good start or not.
Well, they pay you for these forecasts. What are you thinking for Friday? What is the number being bandied around your shop?
Well, UBS expects that we're going to see 265,000 jobs added, so a very healthy number. Some of that is a payback from the weather. Weather held back March, but we don't think it held back April, and therefore the April number should bounce a little higher on that. And that should pull down the unemployment rate as well.
Drew Mattis at UBS Securities, thank you for this.
Thank you.
Today, President Obama is scheduled to announce not a new government agency, but a new nonprofit. It's an extension of the My Brother's Keeper initiative the president started last year to help minority young people stay in school, do well, and graduate ready for college. And the new organization might be a sign of what the president has planned for his future, Tim Fitzsimmons reports.
Just last week, President Obama dropped a not-so-subtle hint about what he might do when he's no longer president.
I'll go back to doing the kinds of work that I was doing before, just trying to find ways to help people, help young people get educations and help people get jobs.
So when he launches the My Brother's Keeper Alliance today, he may be taking the first step toward that goal and also ensuring this program continues after he leaves office. Michael Casserly is executive director of the Council of the Great City Schools. His group was one of the initiative's first partners.
The fact that he is setting this up now, I think, is important in signaling what a major priority this is for him personally.
My Brother's Keeper has raised a lot of money, but Casserly says it's also made some concrete changes, like helping urban school districts change the grounds for out-of-school suspensions, which critics say disproportionately affects minority boys. In Washington, I'm Tim Fitzsimmons for Marketplace.
The price of crude oil is up from its lows of the last year, but at under $59 a barrel this morning, that's still about half what it was 11 months ago. Now, this is great for consumers of oil, drivers, businesses, and beyond, but it's a challenge for many who work in the oil industry, including those called landmen, people paid by oil companies to get the rights to drill. Marketplace's Stan Alcorn has the story of one land person in Eddy County, New Mexico.
Jake Marbach just moved into a new office in downtown Carlsbad. No phone yet, just two desks squeezed between filing cabinets and walls that look like they're made of plywood. It's a downgrade from the office he had last year.
What was the office like before?
About three times this size.
That was when oil went for $100 a barrel, and Marbach had eight people working 6 days a week helping oil companies get land to drill for it.
I couldn't supply enough landmen to do the research. I mean, the phone was just nonstop. Everyone wanted information, and they wanted it yesterday.
It stayed that way even as the price of oil started slipping, until one morning in January, one of the oil companies called and said,
"Stop everything. Shut down right now." And we just stopped. I was just kind of in a haze there for about 24 hours, and then we went, I don't know, probably about a month with no work at all. I knew when I started this 4 or 5 years ago that these times were going to, it was going to happen.
These days, Marbach spends a lot of time in his red pickup truck with a baby seat in back and an AR-15 against the gear shift. He's got less work to do in the office. He's got a 30-mile commute from the ranch where he lives. And he has to knock on a lot of doors to drum up business.
Before the downturn, I bought an oil and gas lease from someone every day. And now I'm making like one a week.
He says his revenue was cut in half.
Want an iced tea?
We stop at a roadside hut called Java Dave's.
You want just the one tea today?
Yeah.
And this is actually a business he's thinking of buying and getting his wife to manage.
It's not going to be even something we could probably make a living off of. Just a little something different, you know?
Like the county he's living in, he's looking for a little bit of diversification. In Carlsbad, New Mexico, I'm Stan Alcorn for Marketplace.
And the financial metaphor of the month so far is about low interest rates as arranged by the Fed, fueling stock buybacks and also companies buying other companies, i.e. mergers and acquisitions. Now, some see these strategies as empty calories, quick fixes that don't really invigorate a company. And here's the metaphor from a San Francisco money manager as quoted by Bloomberg News. It's kind of like getting fat by eating your own leg. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.